When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, my name's Nick.
Hello, I'm Woogie.
We are the Mouth of Manliness. This is a podcast all about mental health. But it's not just mental health. It's kind of about people's lives and about how they cope and how they manage in the world.
Yeah, and digging into the stories that make them who they are.
Yeah, so it's real life stories where we talk about things that people have been through and how they've managed and how they've coped and how they've come out the other side. So sometimes it's just me and Woogie here, but more often than not, we're talking to guests, sometimes more well-known guests, but more often than anything, it's just normal people who have been through interesting situations.
Yeah, and they've all got a lovely story to tell.
Yeah, so Mouth of Manliness, we are about mental health, but we're more about people and stories.
So, welcome to the Mouth.
The Mouth of Manliness. Welcome to the Mouth of Manliness. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Cheers.
It's a really strange one. It took us like, we got here about half an hour ago and it took us like 5 hours to get here. We come from the deepest, darkest depths of Essex. And yeah.
And to their credit, my two children on the way up here didn't moan once.
Yep.
Say hi, Lola, Gina. Are you
right? And our friend Emma drove and very much appreciated.
Absolutely nailed it. Yeah, cheers.
So, yeah, we've had a crazy old journey here. And I think I'm kind of living my teenage rock star dream of being able to be on a stage at a festival, although it being quite nice and intimate in here.
Yeah, it's beautiful, cheers.
I always dreamed of playing a festival, and this is the first time I've ever played a festival. So thanks for being here, everyone.
Yeah, cheers, thank you very much.
So yeah, my name's Nick.
And I'm Woogie, but actually, can you, how do you say my name?
Woogie.
Every time we've recorded the podcast, like every time, it's been sort of just find out how Nick says your name a little bit. My name's Warren. It's Warren Borg. Nickname at school, Woogie. That's just my accent, I believe. But at the same point, mate, every single time is different.
Yeah, yeah.
Only a bit closer.
Yeah. So nicknames are important. Yeah, most people call me Nick Noise because I'm very noisy.
You are, mate. Yeah. Beautiful.
So, yeah, we are... thank you for Rob the Bank for inviting us to come along. So just to let everyone know who we are a podcast called The Mouth of Manliness. And, we talk about mental health. Our podcast is about encouraging people to talk openly about their feelings. Like, that is the kind of crux of it.
It is, but it's also the stories about how people kind of get to where they are through the other side of what they've been through. So it's like, it tends to be very sort of open conversations about what we've been through, each of us. I was late to the party. I joined on season 3 after being a guest on season 2, which was lovely. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So we've been going for getting on to 3 years. And it kind of started with... I've had mental health problems since I was 9. I'm now 45 and I'm still here. And So, yeah, I kind of had quite a serious kind of meltdown, breakdown about 3 years ago. And I kind of came to a realisation that a lot of it was to do with the fact that I was kind of hiding stuff.
Hmm.
That everything about me and about my mental health, like I was hiding. And a lot of that was to do with feeling not good enough as a man. I didn't feel like I was being manly enough, thus the manliness element. And then I just decided that I'd had enough. At that point, it was like, no more. I'm not going to hide who I am anymore. I'm going to be who I am all day long, and I'm going to tell everyone. Yeah. I'm going to tell the world that being quiet about your feelings is really damaging.
And it is, yeah, for sure. So, like, I was a listener on the first two series of our podcast, and Nick was fortunate to speak to rock stars, quite a lot of celebrities, loads of other people discussing the same sort of thing on quite a... just a sort of genuine, open level, really. It was really, really nice. Like it, and you're very open with how and what you say with people. Like, I mean, immediately telling a room of people you don't know at a festival, I hope you're having a lovely time, by the way. like, it's a very... It enamoured me, your openness about it, quite frankly.
Yeah, just tell a load of people that I don't know that I've been mentally ill since I was nine. And certifiable.
Well, yeah.
Since I was nine.
But it's the ability to be brave about it, right? And that's the promotion in it. And that's the stories that people talk about on the podcast mostly. Because it's like how they got through things and the support of other people. Like when I needed friends during the situation I had a couple of years ago, that again, you were one of them, quite frankly. So, you know, it's just how it came about. But, yeah, so on our stories...
So it's quite an amazing thing. Once you, I found, like, once I started being very open about my feelings and started talking about the fact that I struggled with stuff, like, some of my friends were a bit freaked out, and they were, you know, they were kind of looking at me as if to say, what have you got to, like, feel bad about? And, you know, it's not that, is it? You know, like, we don't wear our feelings on our chest in the same way, and people don't understand.
Mm.
But what did happen is that once I started talking about it, I found it attracted a lot of people who felt the same way.
Mm.
So, we managed to kind of chat with rock stars and that, and but more importantly, we gave a lot of people a voice who didn't have a voice. You know, people who were struggling and they had a story to tell.
Hmm.
Well, the most interesting... the podcast has been very much about me exercising my demons in many ways.
I think it was. I think it's changed now. I think it's changed now.
Yeah, it has changed.
And that was, again, that was one of the things. So being part of the Mouth of Manliness and being a guest on it, I was able to discuss the breakup from the mother of my children, issues I had at, like, because, I mean, you know, I work in music, I'm a performer, I played here a few years ago, and that sort of situation was, it's very different when you can come back with real life and how you need to deal with things, I think, and it was an exorcism for me, and that conversation continued with us as friends for a long time.
Yeah, it's quite funny because I kind of so part of my thing was that I was desperate to be a rock star since I was little, absolutely desperate to be a rock star, and you know, did everything I could to be a rock star, but never was, and so then what happened was everything in my life was not, if it wasn't being a rock star, it wasn't good enough, you know, like nothing was good enough, and. And the strangest thing happens is that once I start talking about my problems, I then get invited to come here.
And now you're on stage at Bestival wearing sunglasses, loving life.
Yeah, I'm wearing sunglasses because I found them over there. And I'm a bit scared. Just a little bit scared.
But we are.
But yeah, So over the course of doing the podcast, we were lucky enough to talk to Frank Turner, managed to make friends with some rock stars. And in fairness, Warren kind of lives the dream as a musician, and I don't. One of the things that I found that was really good for me was that the people we were talking to,
like actually getting to talk to rock stars, people who have played stadiums, and then once we start talking about our feelings, they start telling me that they're massively insecure.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And it was like, no way. What, you've got the world at your feet and you're insecure. You know, you're doing everything that I would have ever dreamed possible, but you're insecure and it frightens you. Mm. And that was really helpful for me because it gave me an opportunity to kind of think, I'm all right.
Yeah,
I'm all right then. You know, like, well, actually, it doesn't matter what you do or who you are or where you are, we're all still in the same boat.
Yeah, of course. I think it. So with the series as it's gone on, then we've been able to speak to, people that were more like friends or people that inspired us by the way they, by the way they dealt with their issues and their actions. So based on from insecurities or anxieties or family situations that were actually quite serious.
Yep.
So like on one of the episodes of the recent series, there's a mutual friend of ours called Stuart Mangan.
Yep.
He's a producer under the name of 76. He makes quite a few podcasts. And he's got a really interesting story.
Crazy.
And it, not to spoil too much, if you want to go and listen to it, because it'd be good if we got some more subscribers. That'd be lovely.
Yeah.
But he basically went through a family situation where both his parents were teachers.
Yeah.
And his mother had a relationship with a student. And and how that affects a child at school and how that goes on. I mean, he is a very balanced, lovely man. But the story of how he got from A to B is probably one of the most important things I've ever heard in my life. It was in the national press. It was a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
And I never knew it about him. And I've been friends with him since I was like 20. I'm 37. You've known him for...
I'm a hundred.
Close, but not quite. and it was amazing how you would never know that behind closed doors what goes on in people's lives.
Yeah.
So that's, it's not even an expose because they're talking about it with like confidence and honesty about how they dealt with their issues. So that in itself was like just massively inspiring, and it makes you think differently, right?
Yeah, I think one of the best things about doing the podcast really has been learning from other people.
Mm.
So if someone else like can sit in front of you and be really honest about their lives, it's really difficult not to kind of reflect. Like for that to kind of make you think, oh, I do that.
Yeah.
And then go, oh, but you're still alive. You're still with us and you're still coping.
Mm.
And that means I can.
Mm.
And I think that's a massively powerful thing.
And it is, but validation. Like we live in a society where every single thing we do, obviously, is validated by other people.
Yeah.
So like with like you post on Instagram or whatever else, it's like or when you're on Facebook, the reality is you're waiting for somebody to validate what you did.
Yeah.
And that's not our fault. It's just how we live, right? So it's just, you know, when I'm with my children and I take pictures of them, people like it. And if they don't, you naturally go, oh, right. Oh. You know, and I don't know why that is, but we are in that society. So
I've
if you
taken
make that
a break
bigger,
from it. I've taken,
of course,
a break. I've,
yeah, given, then you
I've,
should
I've
do.
Taken August off.
Yeah.
August off of
August
Facebook
off.
And August off of Instagram because it just drives me mad. Because it just makes you feel bad about yourself.
But this is it, and it's that thing of like when you live in that society, so then when you're not feeling the best or you're not feeling great about yourself and you're trying to sort of validate your actions on like your day-to-day actions about what you do, how you speak, what you wear, all that sort of stuff, like that I'm the sort of person that's affected by those thoughts.
Yeah.
And I've had it most of my life for various reasons. Like, as a weird thing I remember as a kid was like going downstairs after getting dressed for a night out, and my dad going, "What are you wearing that for?" Which it might sound like my reaction should be as a male should be, oh, whatever, I don't care. But the reality was it did affect me because then going forward, going out that night, I was subconscious about what I was wearing, how I looked, you know, if I was a bit too big for the t-shirt I was wearing, whatever else. And that stuck with me, and like whether that, and in a society when I was growing up, that was considered sort of what an effeminate way to think, or whatever.
That's
a
manliness thing, isn't it?
Well, exactly that. So like the pump up of like being macho male. It's just, I'm so glad that the society has changed and flipped around to just observe people for who they are, and accept people for who they are, and their decisions, because that form of toxic masculinity massively affected me for sure. And
it's
actually, it was my old man's insecurity.
It's so strange because it's not necessarily like that's not necessarily a toxic masculinity thing.
No,
like that would be considered just normal.
Yeah,
you know,
of course,
like your dad would kind of dig you out over the smallest of things.
Yeah, I know, but then it's how that then affects you going forward. So the fact that we can now sort of discuss that and be like, well, do you know what? It's okay to revolt that as well and to sort of have a bit of a go back and be like, actually, I'm all right. You know, like,
yeah.
I know my parents are amazing. I was very, very lucky. But in that respect, that's it hurts when you're a kid and you harbour things, as we all do.
Yeah, we do. It's quite, I think, we kind of quite, I think, young men are often considered to be a certain way and we're considered to be strong and we're considered to be able to cope.
Mm.
And I don't know if we can.
Mm.
And it's that's not to discount, you know, anyone else's experiences of life, but I think quite often, you know, this idea that men are meant to be men and like we're meant to be butch and hard, and it's but just not real.
It's interesting. So like another guest on our podcast is a friend of mine called Kate, and she Kate Farrandon. She started. She's a personal trainer, and she told us of a story that was. I mean, she was very much led by a partner at the time into her future and having children, to then find out that she was essentially being. I don't know how to put it, really. She was sort of being ring-fenced into a life that wasn't necessarily hers. And it's quite upsetting, to be honest. Like
kind of manipulative.
When you hear about people's the way people are treated and how that affects their mental state and what it is they then go and do.
Yep.
Because he had lots of like private issues that were clearly affecting his family. She wasn't, you know, she was being treated quite badly. I mean, this is all on the podcast again. We're not talking about anybody behind their backs, but... And it's when you sort of hear again how then she picked herself up. She decided to end that situation and become stronger, but after getting very, very, very dark and very concerned about her own safety and her health. Mm. And that in itself is like the most inspiring thing I heard for a long, long time about how she then started her own business. She shared a business with him, literally turned her entire life around and got her mental health on track with the support of her friends and with like and more importantly with having that sense of community with the people she loved. They looked after her, right?
It is quite amazing what we can learn from other people and just those general stories. Like I find that mind blowing. I really do. And I kind of want to ask everyone who's in here if they've got anything, if they've got a story to tell. Anyone? No one wants to join in.
I feel a guest
I'm
would quite be good
happy
right
to
now.
To open
yeah.
up the stage.
Yeah, of course.
If anyone wants to talk, how about you two over there? If you got anything, if you got a story, like, have you ever struggled?
Come up. You're all right, of course. Come over, chat with us. If you're happy to, it is being recorded. Just
it
so
is
you know.
Being recorded, and we are going to put it out. But like, I like the look of you guys. You look like you're in my gang. I quite often, my like, my mate kind of told me off because. I'm always like lean towards more alternative people, and I do because they're my people. But wow, you're here.
Hello.
Take the mic. What's your name?
My name's Alex.
Tell us. So what's your story then?
Well, it's really odd. Where do you want me to start? Is the main thing
at the beginning.
Oh. Well, my family's a bit, I'm asexual, which is, for people who don't know, someone who don't feel sexual attraction to anyone. That was something I was dealing with, obviously them being like, oh, yes, girlfriend. Got a friend, girl, yeah. You must be dating.
Yeah.
It gets annoying after the time. And then, yeah, that one over there as well.
Hello.
Our family thinks we're dating.
Right.
Which we do sometimes play up to that, just for a bit of fun. Yes, I am going to embarrass you as well.
What's her name?
Her name's Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
Oh, I sleep in a tent with her. I'm going to die tomorrow. Not that.
So, tell me about it then. So, you kind of feel like you have to kind of fit in the role and then you'll get acceptance.
Yeah, that's very much it. Yeah. It's very annoying because my family, even though they're no, you know, asexual, which I'm also pan-romantic more more attracted to men than I am women, so.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was some. I'm out to all of them. Hope they don't watch it.
They might hear it.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah, so that's really about fun.
So how does that make you feel?
A little bit, just the fact that I have to be someone else, which is an annoying bit.
I was going to say, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
17.
You're 17, so the courage alone then, and yeah, the difficulties you must have faced already. Yeah. So when, at what stage did you feel that you had to make a point of, well, not point, that's the wrong word, actually, you discovered how you felt about your sexuality in life, generally?
Yeah, it was quite young when I knew I was getting that. Well, people say when you start getting that attraction, you're like, because then I was like, oh, because I was told men, women, both day. So yeah. Then I was like, okay, I need to hide this. Can't tell anyone. Ah, very much panicking all through that until about about 3 years ago, maybe. When did I leave school? I leave school last year. About 3 years ago. Ooh, that's scary. So then I came out, so that's all right.
It's kind of, you know what I was saying at the beginning about spending your life hiding who you are?
Yeah.
And I was saying, like, I was hiding my mental health. You know, I was trying to be manly when, like, I know I'm not that manly, although I've got the deepest voice in the world. But I was trying to hide the fact that I didn't like working on cars and I didn't like sport. But like that really, that's quite damaging, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The fact that also being part of the community, some people like the stereotype that gays don't like sports. I enjoy sports. I enjoy football, in fact. Any other sports, I'm happy to watch them.
Yeah.
Don't mean I'm good at them, but at least I try. So,
so how's it impacted on you? How's all of that hidden life?
It's impacted quite much. Just the fact that I'm also non-binary as well.
Okay.
For some people, I'm usually them pronouns, neither boy or girl. That was not easy to go through either. That took me longer than my sexuality did. Again, none of my parents know.
They won't listen to this.
they don't like podcasts, so I'm
we're a winner, aren't we?
That's all right then.
Yeah, so dealing with that as well, definitely living a different life to them for what they know and what I am, which is another thing. Which is also another part of being trans, is the name as well.
Yeah.
Because my name's not legally Alex. So that's another thing that I've got to deal with when I leave home.
Right?
Yeah. When I leave home, you know, everyone else knows me as Alex. And at home, I'm not going to use it because I despise it with a passion. Even that name affects me now. Because if I'm in public, Rebecca can definitely agree with this, someone says, which is called a dead name. Because you don't use it. Use a dead name. I'm like, who's called me? Yeah. And I'm like,
really?
Yeah. Even my head, I'm like, still a little bit trying to convince, no, still phase, all that. Because that's the thing that people tell you, is like, oh no, it's a phase. It's going to be a phase.
Yeah.
It's just a phase. You're just going through this. You're trying just experiment. Even though I know, even though I know it's not, I'm still in my head trying to convince myself, even though I know it's not. The fact that, because when I finished level 2 performing arts, we had to do this performance of our own piece for one of our courses, and I write stories for fun as well.
Yeah.
Dyslexia and write stories.
Well, that's
a common thing. Which you've read, which is quite good. Yeah. Which is quite fun, so. Character is basically me, different name, and just basically what I'd like to do. And has more confidence than I actually have, which is always the problem.
Yeah.
Which the thing is, even though I don't, you know I have a load of problems.
Yeah.
We all do.
Yeah, so.
We really do.
Yeah, of course.
But it's the fact that I don't mind coming up here. I've even done a project on mental health. I've spent like so long doing it, researching it. The fact that things like this is really, everyone knows the statistic. If you do or don't, it's, I think it's every 2 hours a man kills himself.
They do.
Which is a really scary thought if you think about it.
It's incredibly scary.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And that's why we do this.
Yeah. And then I was reading something. It was a, you know, don't particularly trust the BBC, but they've made like a little article saying that 50% of people who self-harm get cured, which you don't really get cured from something like that.
There's no such thing as cure.
No, that's the one thing I have problem with, just that headline, get cured. Yeah, it's a thing with self-harming, it's a coping mechanism.
Yep.
And with that, it's like, it's very hard to stop because it's also very addicting.
Yep.
Which is very hard. I've known people who have self-harmed. I was known as the therapist friend. Which
you know what though, like, you are by being the therapist friend, you are being the best possible friend.
Yeah, I don't particularly say my problems. I go, okay, I always go, right, I'm not a professional.
Yeah.
Would like to be, too much paperwork, too much time. Yeah, but you know, this is my point. You know, take it with a pinch of salt. Actually, go get help.
Yeah,
because I'm not particularly the most brightest of people.
Have you had help?
No.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think quite often you just believe that people aren't going to hear you.
That's not really the issue. Last year, my mental health was just, like, really low.
Yeah.
At the point that at some points didn't even know I was going to make it to the next day.
Yeah, yeah.
Which some people...
God, I feel you.
Yeah.
I've been there so many times.
Well, it's not fun.
No, it's not.
But, how many times I've thrown with my friend, like, the things that we've both been through.
Yeah.
And the fact that I know her backstory at times that not going to... Not dissing you,
Rebecca.
But it's the fact that some points I do it to myself. Yeah. I know I do it to myself. I'm like, right, she's gone through so much, and yet she seems fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Sometimes.
That's so true, though, because you kind of stack yourself up against other people.
Yeah.
So I found, like, doing the podcast is that quite often that we'll speak to other people and you'll think, oh, they've got it together. You know, like talking to rock stars, and you're like, they've got to have it together. Mm. And then they haven't. And they're just as much a mess as me, or you.
Or me.
Yeah, or Warren, who hasn't got a mic. And then you realise that actually we're all in this, like, this world. We're all in, I like to call it a human condition, and that the human condition's hard.
One of the best things that I've heard from sitting and listening to you talk is about the camaraderie and support you both have. Do you have like other friends as well together that you can share things with?
Yeah, but I'm not as like close as I am with my friend.
That's lovely.
She is my go-to person.
It's it. And I think like the most important thing for me was always having like a supportive group of people. I've had people that have, no matter what I've been through, and I've been at some times in my life some pretty low points, and I've had a very lovely life. I've had a lovely family. Everything is great, but not always is everything great.
Yeah.
And the problem is when you can have full support. People, something I was addicted to was just going on stupidly long walks. Every Saturday was like a marathon, and the point of it was by the end of it, me and my friend or whoever else sort of we. Yeah, my friend and I had to go like into the forest for like as much as 26 miles allowed, basically, which is a marathon. Yeah. It was in bits, but the emotive journey you've gone through from the start of it, through delirium and chatting and everything else, it was, regardless of the walking, it was just having that amount of time with somebody to actually offload and for them not to judge you. And I think that's been, it's just one of the best things of having friends and the right support group. I've since had other help, other forms of help, professionally and otherwise. Yeah. And that is, it's something that, it's something I think is massively important to be open and honest about if you need it. And I think, but also find groups of people that will support you doing things. And like, I mean, you know, you've got a lovely, long, luscious life ahead of you. And already your confidence and courage to be here telling us your story immediately is so admirable at 17 years of age. You know, and it's like you're at a festival in front of strangers. We've just met you. You're a lovely human being. Do you know what I mean? It's. But I think, yeah, as you said, like you get help is and get support from people. It's so important. I mean, it's so you sort of what's your plan for you? What do you want to do? Because you seem creative. If you're putting things down into a creative outlet, right?
Yeah, I'm very creative with different things as well.
Yeah.
I can't really know what else to say.
No,
that.
It's good. But I was just again shocked by the fact you were sort of saying about writing stories and personifying yourself in a creative way. Like I do the same thing in music. He does the same thing in art. It's that thing of like finding something that you can be completely you with, I think, and honest. And I think that form, again, it's like a crutch, a bit of support, right? And being able to do it, it's like that flourish is like, it just really excites me. I just really like hearing it, that's all.
Yeah.
I think it's lovely.
I think I'd like to know what you've learned.
Oh, I always find some, back to what you said, is the, definitely in my case, it's like I was bullied for 5 years. It just mainly in primary school. And yeah, the fact is, for that, I was like, oh well, because I moved from a school that everyone knew me, everyone knew what I was like,
yeah,
to move to in year three, move to a new secondary school, and you know how some kids can be, like, new kid. So that was really interesting. That's really about it with that one. And then talking to one of the people who used to bully me, we somewhat gone to senior school, and he was like, oh yeah, sorry about this, and actually getting
really?
To talk to him.
Really?
Can't say I wasn't, you know, I wanted, this was very petty on my half, I wanted revenge, and I did get my revenge. And if he's listening now, though he is, or if he's not here, I can't see him, so that's not a good thing. I would like to say sorry to him if I got to see him face to face, because I wasn't particularly the nicest of people.
Yeah.
And even then, with a guy I like, even then I had a lot of insecurities, even though I know I still have.
Yeah.
I projected my insecurities on him.
Yeah.
Like,
makes
verbally,
relationships
which
difficult.
I have said to him, it's like, I'm sorry, I sort of didn't go into much detail. I went, yeah, this is sort of why.
Yeah.
And then I think from that, that's when the feeling started to happen, which I was like, oh, not this again. Love that. So, yeah.
I think that stops throughout life, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's really shocking. You know, like the bullies at school, like the impact they have is like really insanely powerful. And it really hurts you. And I've kind of come to a conclusion that I think quite often most things are about our sense of self. And a bully tells you you're not good enough and tells you that you're no good. And then that makes you kind of feel like awful inside. And then more often than not, that bully is actually just like they're reflecting their struggles with themselves onto you.
Yeah, it's more of like they're trying to go, okay, do this. Does this make me feel better?
Yeah.
Okay, then there's another thing of people knowing how they perceive you. And then just sort of to go through it. I did that all through senior school. People, I am like this now and then. It's like, I won't, even now I'm like, I won't take it from anyone. I don't care who you are, because I'm, you know,
stand up for yourself.
But things I'm struggling with, you know, self-worth is another thing.
Yeah, yeah, self-worth.
Self-worth is a very hard thing. But
yeah.
then I was debating to this festival to bring a skirt, because I feel very comfortable into that, because it's very like very feminine, as they say.
Yeah.
So I do prefer being in some feminine clothes, or even like just baggy stuff like this, which is very comfortable.
Yeah.
Also very handy with pockets as well.
Lots of pockets.
Can't go wrong, good old pocket. So I wear like stuff like that. Fun enough, I was in we were in the tent, and we were just because I suffer with like anxiety and all that. So. Right. And I've never gone camping before. This is my, funny enough, my
camping
first...
is quite anxiety. Like I struggle with camping because I like to know where everything is, and I also need to have a TV on at all times.
I think it's not much of a TV with me.
I just need it on.
Yeah, I used to be like that until I'm like sort of forced myself to do it. But then sort of came back to why I used to have the TV on.
Yeah.
Because I suffer with intrusive thoughts.
Yeah, I do as well.
Yeah. Which, surprisingly, not a lot of people talk about, but it's very common.
Don't. Yeah.
I think it's like some people in here deals with intrusive thoughts. People don't know thoughts that you don't, like, don't do or will never do. Like, if I walk down the street, like, see a kid, it's like, quick thought. Kick that kid. Like, so just something stupid like that. And
yeah, it's true.
Obviously I'll never kick a kid intentionally. Maybe.
I have intrusive thoughts. Normally like kill yourself
yeah,
all the
stuff
time.
Like that. Yeah,
that's generally
well.
Tends to be my intrusive thoughts. Yeah, it's a bit insane really. Oh man, thank you for coming up and talking to us.
It's fine, it's a pleasure.
You're a superstar, thank you.
Be fair, I do this, I'll try and educate people because definitely with my family, then like, this is something my mum said. I was like, she said something, I was quite a kid, and I said, I really hope I finish. She went, you're a man, you don't have feelings. Which hurt to that point.
Yeah.
That still sticks with me today.
That's
I was
the
about
problem.
Probably 4 or 5 maybe.
So that's interesting, that in itself, man. I mean, I can't. Yeah, you're little, and yet you're going to absorb that. We are so impressionable anyway, right? In that situation. But it's if you're then forced to sort of fight and try and prove yourself in what should be a warm and nurturing environment, then it's always going to be difficult for you.
No. That's another thing. It's not feeling good enough. Even not feeling good enough for myself. As I was packing to come here, I was talking to my friends, like, should I bring my skirt? Oh, and then another thing is also the anxiety of, because I've gone out on the street like it, and I've had people go, what is he wearing? People's like, you shouldn't be wearing that. That's for girls. Mm. Like, mate, I don't know you.
Yeah. The thing is, though, it's part of like being subversive or not being the normal. People tend to be scared of just stuff they don't know.
Yeah.
And I know it's a really simple statement, but it just is true. And then naturally, all sorts of isms come from that. Like, I mean, I've grown up in a place where, you know, there's lots of racism. There's lots, and it's all just general people being scared, and just not being educating themselves enough to have enough knowledge to sort of just welcome people.
Yeah.
And I think what's really nice, we've discussed this on the podcast an awful lot actually, is just about how things are changing. There's a definite sense in the air that people are a little bit more empowered because we're able now to sort of have people together to shout out about exactly who they are as an individual.
Yeah, like I grew up, you know, I was born in 2004, and growing up, you know, back then it wasn't entirely all inclusive.
No.
Even growing up, like, there was nothing in the media.
No, it's changed. It's changed it hugely. And it's so empowering and lovely for us to hear your story.
Yeah.
And again, just to celebrate your courage being here, quite frankly.
Thank you for bringing me up here.
No, not at all.
Here.
You know what, though? I want you to share one life hack.
Yeah.
I want a life hack.
Before you go, that's your parting statement for the stage.
And
what,
I was
something you've learned from your experience?
Everyone else, if they've got any life hacks. Like, one of mine is you don't have to listen to your brain. Like, your brain isn't in charge. You're in charge. You can ignore your brain. That is my favourite life hack of all time. And I wondered if you got one.
Not really. Well, I'm going to more tell a story. It wasn't mine. It's something from a famous philosopher, which is it's called the cave. It's a cave. Basically, there's these people who lives in the cave. I'm definitely going to butcher this, so...
Yeah, no, go on. I'm excited.
So there's people who live in the cave. So caves are usually dark. There's no light.
Yeah.
And now and then there's... Sun comes up and there's these phantoms. And they were very interested in them. So they studied them. And they were basically saying like, oh, yes, this. So they talked about it. Like they knew what it was. Until one person was exploring the cave and went outside and actually saw what the phantoms were. So he went back down to the cave. Obviously, it was dark, so he stumbled a bit until he got down there as he was bruised and bloodied and all that. It was like, what we know is not the 100% truth. There's stuff up there we've not even seen before.
Yeah.
So as he was saying that, they plotted to kill him. Which is how I get... I started my own things in my own time. And another fun thing is...
you sport it for us. No, it is. It's like the guy who's gone over the hill, it's like, oh, there's loads of cool things over there. And they're like, hold on. You're spoiling this for us.
Yeah.
So we're going to kill you.
Yeah, it's going against what they know. They don't want change. Even though change is a very scary thing
for
everyone. But yet, it's okay when it's... okay for you to change, but when someone else tells you like this isn't 100% true,
you might not
even
be
if
right.
They got facts against it, they'll go no, I don't like that, so that's not true. Which
it's so
is
true.
Really funny it's to so think true. About it.
Has anyone got any life hacks? Anyone got any life hacks? Anyone want to join in?
Please do, because I'm here on my own.
Watch to listen. Has anyone got any like bits of advice we can share with our young? Oh, look at that! That's what I want to see. Hold on, stay there, Alex. What's your name?
It's Rue.
Tell me your life hack.
Well, what I would say is, and it takes a while sometimes to get to a position in life where you're able to say no to people. So sort of trying to just be a pleaser. At the end of the day, if you're doing something that you're not comfortable with or you don't actually feel you want to do but you're feeling you have to do, it's okay to say no.
Oh, that's a good one. Have you got your hand up? Thank you, Rue. I love that. That's so true. We did an episode on people pleasing. The fact that you're always going to try and please people, but actually, in the end, you don't please them or you. No one gets pleased. It's just all a nightmare. Thank you, man. That's great. That's great. Anyone else got a life hack? I'm looking at you. How about you over the back there? Got any advice for us young ones? I say me. I'm not young. I'm not young at all. I'm interested in what people have got to say. How about the kids?
Anything to share, baby?
He got any advice? No?
No.
How about you over there with a smiley T-shirt? What would you like to tell us adults? You can come and talk. No?
Don't you worry then.
Don't you worry. Ah, right. So, at this point, I want to say a massive thank you to Alex. We need to get your email so we can tell you when we release this.
Yes, we do, for sure.
Yep.
We'll definitely be featuring you on the podcast, so we'll get your details.
This is going to go out about around the beginning of September.
Yes, it will be. It'll be our little comeback bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
No, it'll be just audio.
Yeah, so be us on distribution.
Yeah.
Right, let's give Alex a hand of applause.
Man.
Thank you very much.
He's superstar.
Thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you so much. So I guess, I think Alex coming up here and talking about his life is what it's all about. Like, life is really tough and it's a nightmare and it's hard work. And it's so much harder when we don't feel we're able to be ourselves and talk about how we feel. And I think that is all this podcast and that is all us being here is about.
Well, it's always been about stories. for yeah, us, like, and individual stories like yours.
Superstar.
and it's what you learn from other people. Like, we were very aware of, like, coming to a family festival and firstly not being on a music stage and,
not swearing,
and getting drunk, not swearing quite successfully. I think, have I sworn yet?
Yeah,
no, I'm all right so far, it's cool.
Yeah,
but
well.
I think more importantly, what you can learn, we were going to discuss, so we've still got a bit of time, I think, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got a
so
bit
cool.
of time.
So one of the things we were going to discuss was, like, parenthood and children and how you learn from your own, right?
Yeah.
So my two lovely daughters, Lila and Juno, are sat in the audience there,
cool,
drinking
kids.
Loads of fizzy drink, just getting it in before bedtime. Go on, girls, you're all right. Which I'm sure everyone else is on this festival today. And Nick, your family, you've got two
children.
Yeah,
I've got two kids. I've got a son who's 11 and a daughter who's 14. And I tell you, the biggest thing, like having children, you tend to spend, as a parent, I was reading a book recently and it just says that essentially you just feel inadequate constantly.
Yeah.
When you're a parent, you just feel constantly inadequate. You're just always thinking, I'm not doing that right, I'm letting them down, and it's really, really tough. And like, but yet, there's this thing where we don't talk about that as well.
Sorry, I'm just making sure she's all right to go to the toilet. Yeah, you're all right. Come on, baby. See, being a parent. Right, there you go. No, I mean, for me, it was literally like trying like forever. Like, you feel like I'm constantly setting a bar against my own weird anxieties and the demons in my head versus how that can come out in my family unit, and to make sure that I'm doing the best job I can.
Yeah.
That's the hardest job I've ever had in my life. Because I'm a overly busy person, clearly got traits of ADHD, all sorts of other bits, as you well know, clearly loads of other bits going on, and it's how you sort of balance your own like crazy when you wake up and utilising things like meditation and things like that, which again, I was never brought up that way, like learning sort of ways and sort of coping mechanism to ensure that my brain wasn't going mental all of the time, whilst also holding a screaming baby for like 48 hours after you stayed awake 5 days from being born, true story. It's a test.
Yeah.
And it's a test you can only do on a daily as you go, right? And that influence has always been, you know, like everything to me. Like, I've learnt more from being a parent and being a father. I've learnt to become less selfish. I've learnt to become less narcissistic and less centre-based, because all of my actions naturally then, you know, influence, but then also are for them, you know, everything I do.
Yeah, it's weird. I found being a parent one of the hardest things, and I'm sure every parent would probably say it's one of the hardest things in the world. And,
of course, it is.
And then I kind of find myself feeling guilty because I'm kind of thinking about me and I'm not being like present with them because I'm too busy in my own head thinking about how I hate myself, for example.
Yeah. But the thing that I've always admired about you, Nick, is that you succeed in what you do. It's not like you're wasting your energy. And I think that's, again, like a lesson learned, because no matter how you sort of commit to whatever, you're not just detracting any responsibility or mental sort of emotion towards your children. You're doing stuff. Like, he builds guitars and builds random instruments just for fun.
Quite,
do you know what I mean? Yeah. He's built me bundles of stuff. It's amazing.
Bored.
Like, he's a creative. But it doesn't never deter from the fact that you're a good father who provides for your family. And I think, you know...
Yeah, just about. I think most of the time I feel like I'm clawing at the edges. But I'm just about managing.
But I think we're all on the periphery. We're all of us are managing as individuals.
That's true.
Like, and that day to day, you know, when you're talking about finding yourself, you never stop, really.
No.
Whether you're finding your sexuality or you're finding who you are as a person, your purpose, like what you do on a day to day, it's like, that's hard as it is. Like, you know.
I often wonder about the purpose thing. I feel like you're constantly looking for your purpose, and does the purpose exist? Because a lot of people would suggest that the journey is the important bit.
Yeah,
like the purpose
I think it is.
Suggests there's an end. But
I see.
I don't know if there is. I think it's all the journey is the important bit.
But I don't think if you've got a brain like mine, and I speak obviously very selfishly on that,
an insanely busy
I know
brain.
That I go and do something and then I'm immediately go bang and I do something else, and you know what I'm like.
Yeah,
I've been. Files will be there tomorrow, Nick. They'll be there tomorrow. They're never there tomorrow because I do 20 other things first.
Yeah, yeah,
but I get
true.
To the end of the day. So it's more like tomorrow night, but I just don't say
true,
it.
Yeah.
So it's that constant. And it's not that I'm not just sitting on my bum doing nothing.
No, I know.
But again, that is what I do. Like, I appease everybody straight away, say yes.
Yeah.
You know, contrary to our beautiful bit of advice.
Yeah.
you know, but then I try and fit it all in.
Yep.
And that's inclusive of, like, spending quality time with my children, all that sort of stuff, you know. It's like, and I guilt myself. Like, our journey here today took 5 hours.
It did.
It should have took 2 hours.
Yeah.
And all that entire journey, I'm just thinking, my kids are sat in the car for 5 hours. My kids are sat in the car for 5 hours. I'm so selfish bringing my kids up.
And that was
so
amazing, though.
And they were absolutely amazing.
I'm looking at you, June.
She's giving me a funny little look, though, June, isn't you, baby? She's annoying me now. But it's... Oh. It's... Hi. And it's with that little journey in itself, it's like you... I think we can be a little bit too hard on ourselves in the situation.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know,
I do think in life we're often really hard on ourselves. And, like, people have often said to me that, you know, how you'd give your best mate, you'd let them off for most things. Mm. Your best mate, you'd be like, oh, no, it's all right. Look, they've been a bit out of order, but we know they're going through a load of grief. We'll let them off. But we never let ourselves off. We never go, oh... You know, you never kind of bring that to yourself. You never think, oh, I'll look after myself a bit, because you suddenly turn into a really selfish person. It's not true. We need to look after ourselves, and we need to let ourselves off, because we give ourselves so much more grief than anyone else is going to give us.
Yeah, man, for sure.
And, you know, that and the you don't have to listen to your brain is my overarching message.
Yeah. I think it's true. I think for me, it's always just been take a few deep breaths before I act, and I'm still learning to do this on an absolute daily.
Yeah.
And it is a struggle, I think. But, you know, and as I've said, I've always the support of people that genuinely love you, genuinely look out for you, and listen as well. I don't stop nattering. Again, probably a bit of the illness situation right there. But
I think the worst thing about... I can hear M people in the background.
I know, yeah. Heather Small is having it behind us, like, on the main stage.
M people, all things in the background. Like, I'm
listen, she's as punk rock
I'm
as you like.
I'm a guitar man.
Of course you are. You ain't got to worry. Well, listen, we're going to have to wrap up. So thank you very, very, very much to Alex.
Thank you,
thank
everyone.
You so
thank
much.
Thank you, Alex, you superstar.
And thank you to everybody who sat here and stayed in here. It's so lovely
thank
that you're
you,
here.
Man, thank you.
Really do appreciate
thanks
it. Thank you, Ruth, for your lovely
us.
Bit of...
We are the mouth of manliness. We talk about our feelings.
So go subscribe on the mouth of manliness on Acast.
Check us out. We're on all formats.
And all platforms and all that.
Yeah,
and
go
and enjoy yourselves. Have a lovely festival.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Bye now.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.